February 28, 2019, it's the Watt from Pedro Show.
Thank you.
for Pedro show. Brother Matt, last minute, unavailable again. Wants to tell everybody he's sorry, but he'll be with us next week. I'm at my pad. We had more rain. And this year, a lot of rain for SoCal. No drought. Which is maybe a good thing. But up north, like Guerneville, I remember playing there, the Russian River. I remember there was a mark in the theater where the last time they had a flood. And it's supposed to be, it's like an island. I think you can only get to it by boat. Les lives out there. Anyway, from the magic of those software cats in Estonia coming up with their Skype software, I am not a man alone with me. All the way from Perth, right? It's Pex.
Right.
Zero Debt, Australia. Yeah, we started the show off with Twinkle Tinkle, John Coltrane, when he was with Thelonious Monk, those 9 months in between Miles Davis shifts. And then I'm coming in, Zero Debt. I got the new album too late, but this is from their first album. And before we get to the Zero Debt story, I want to know about your journey through music. Pex, what's the earliest musical recollection that you have?
Let me see. I know there was always music back at home. My parents always, they had a record player and always played the radio and stuff. Probably the first time that I was, first time I've heard rock music was when I was 5 years old, and my father bought a single by this very popular Yugoslavian rock band called Bijelo Dugme or White Button.
Right. I know about those guys. No, because when I went to high school here in San Pedro, okay, we got a lot of guys, they told me about White Button. And in fact, this guy's still going. Brother Koya doesn't have too much nice stuff to say. I think he's kind of a Miss Edma.
The main guy.
Yeah, he's copying kind of ethnic music now.
Yes. Dad bought the single. I guess he bought it for him and for mom, but somehow me and my brother played it, and I know I was about 5 years old, and I remember going to the kindergarten, preschool, and singing the song, and the teacher there was a little bit shocked that I was singing a rock song rather than, some Christmas carol or whatever. And
we should probably explain, this was not Australia.
Yes, this was in the Serbia or Yugoslavia at the time, of course. Back in the 70s.
Belgrade?
No, I grew up in a town that's just 50 miles south of Belgrade, just a small town, 25,000 population. Nothing significant.
Oh, everything's significant. Now, your folks, they were listeners. They weren't players.
Exactly, yes. They never played any instruments. There was always music at home and mainly radio. They had a few records and stuff. So later on after that, I turned into... there was usually parents buying cassette tapes or records at the time, like Bonnie M, ABBA.
Yeah.
I remember having the Grease soundtrack,
In the house, though, there was no guitar, no piano, no instruments.
No. Dad bought us a guitar when I was 8 years old. He went to Poland and bought this really cheap guitar, and the first song I learned was, of course, Smoke on the Water, played on one string.
On one string, the top string, bro.
Yes. And then I went to some kind of not really music school, it was more like a community center where you could learn some instruments, and basically, I learned three chords, and for me that was it.
Sure. Well, what about school though? Did you have music in school, like the school band or the marching band or shit like
No,
that?
No. There was music classes, but, you know, we would just learn to sing or something
choir,
like that.
Yeah.
But I never learned to sing, though.
Okay. Okay. But and then we took a few lessons at the community center on guitar.
Exactly. But I didn't like the music we played there, so after a couple of years, I've given up. And then when I was about 10 years old, I've heard punk for the first time. I was watching this TV show with mom, and there was this one of the first Yugoslavia punk bands came on and just blew me away.
I didn't even know
what punk was. I had to ask my mom what punk means, and
what did she say?
I was just,
what did she say punk meant?
Well, she was saying, oh, you know, it's these young guys and they're wearing gold clothes and badges and stuff, and jumping around, looking dirty or something. But she didn't mean it in a negative way, of course,
I ask you that because before this music movement had that name in our town, that was a really bad word.
Yes,
Punk,
I believe.
He would get fucked in jail for cigarettes. Not a good name.
No, but this was like 1980 already. So back then, we just knew it. Name just meant as a style of music, like loud and fast and a bit silly, I guess. And but just completely blew me away. And
can you remember what band that was?
Yes, the band was called Pekinska Patka, or Peking Duck is the English translation. There was like a great Yugoslavian punk band released a couple of singles and a couple of albums.
I
broke it up. Really cool.
I've been getting turned on to some 80s music from that part of the world, and very interesting stuff. Cornell at Mokva in Zagreb, he's turned me on to some pretty wild music that was going on in the early 80s.
That's true. Like, to me, that was like, especially the year 1981 was like the best year in the music for former Yugoslavia. There was just so many great albums released that year, both punk and new wave post-punk stuff. Some of it was like really crazy in the best possible way, and if you listen to it, sounds like they were influenced by, I don't know, pop group or
maybe men were influenced by these guys or something. The link is crazy.
I'm sure it was just pure coincidence. I don't even think these people heard of bands like pop group. Uh-oh. But I read the interviews and they were like listening to James Chance and
Ubu
and that kind of stuff. So
no wave.
But then, quickly, a few years later, things deteriorated, music and politics back home.
Yeah. Look, I'm going to play something. Don't Go Back. Zero Den, okay?
Back. Farewell to Red Vienna. Farewell to your glorious fame. Our lips will forever whisper your name. The monarchy fell and Franz Ferdinand shot dead. Then once merry, sinister, old Vienna was red. The Red Brigade took coffee houses and the Kaiser Ball. Built towers for the masses in Karl Marx Hall. In Café Central sat Dr. Freud, pondering dreams of evil and joy, watching chess moves of Leon Trotsky, flogging his rival at quiche number 3. People laughed at the absurd conclusion. This unlikely Russian might plot a revolution. Vienna was red and from its chains was free. The Viennese wine dined and danced as they pleased. Lovers cavorted in jaunty frivolity, while hemlines of fräuleins climbed above their knees. Farewell to Red Vienna. Farewell to your glorious fame. Our lips will forever whisper your name. The amorous glance, the seductive wink, captured in oil by Gustav Klimt. Theaters were packed with operetta goers. The Casanova Club stuffed with planners and posers. A war to end all wars, Vienna had survived. Bitter winters and all that war had contrived. Bonhomie Genuss, warm and cozy, parent-kissed hands of Dom and Chic and Rosie. The empire was a memory, lost cause forlorn. A new era was afoot, old Vienna reborn. But rises from rack and ruin must return soon to the imperialist glory that spells its doom. Farewell to Red Vienna. Farewell to your glorious fame. Our lips will forever whisper your name. Whisper your name. Farewell. glorious fame. Our lips will forever, forever whisper your name. Farewell to Red Vienna, farewell to your glorious fame. Our lips will forever, forever whisper your name. Farewell to Red Vienna,
Thank you. And learn about the simple answers Dan found tomorrow on World News and his new book, 10% Happier. And again, don't miss tomorrow night.
My idea of a good time is the biggest problem facing the world today is mental health. If everybody had good mental health, then all the other problems would be solved. Because in order to take care of mechanical and practical problems, you have to have good mental health in order to attack those problems. If people have motives that are not worthwhile, then those bad motives are always going to creep into their activities. That you see that every day from the way the political people work. If people were just in a position to have their minds functioning right, then everything else would fall into line. Well, that's what I'm after. That's my dream. Now, that's a dream. That's probably not going to happen, but that's my dream.
Yeah!
Watt for Pedro Show. Started off that chunk of music, but don't go back from Zero Day. Then Chris Chappelle's Distortion Pedal with Time Capsule. After that, Tad Falco with Red Vienna. Mini Beast, that's got Peter from Mission in Burma. Look, Don't Look. Sun Watchers and Eugene Chadbourne doing a Minuteman song called Themselves. Lauren with Ann, Rarity Record Collection. Crushed by Pimps, brand new stuff, Happier Part 6. Graf from the Netherlands with Mal Lit. Awkward, Faster Dynamo. That's a duet, I should say, featuring Kay and Darren from Darren. Devin Hoff. From, of course, Nels Clyde Singers and Good for Cows and all kinds of stuff. And the Goldman Bust Up Brigade, even. And then finally, Own and Only Fred, Zero Dip. When you were going to school, what about the stuff like you get together with friends, and garage band, basement band, bedroom band?
Well, I have an older brother, so he's like 2 years older, and
I think he put on my gig last time I played Belgrade.
Sorry?
I think he put on my gig last time I played Belgrade.
Exactly. Right, I completely forgotten about that. Yes.
Yeah, great cat, yes, that's him. Right?
So basically, we just me and him played in our bedroom, you know, like. We were both hooked to music early on and pretty much like the same stuff and just jammed together and then little by little, we play with some local guys, some friends and stuff. But, you know, the problem was we never had the money. So we never had we could never afford electric guitars or, you know, proper instruments and stuff. So we had to borrow and find a way around and stuff. And then when I was in high school, I started a band with some friends, this was just a Ramones cover band,
yeah.
With lyrics in Serbian, and we played some other covers and nothing original. And basically nothing significant happened music-wise until I came here. But even when I came here, it took like a few years.
Pax, what were gigs like in those? Tell me about the first gig you went to see somebody play live.
Oof. I mean, I've seen like some, you know, top 40 pop singers back home, but probably the first, I'm just trying to think. Let's put it this way. First couple of foreign rock bands that I saw were Eric Clapton and Uriah Heep. I'm not very proud of that now.
I seen Uriah Heep. I don't think I've ever saw Eric Clapton, but I know about the Cream.
Yeah. I mean, it was okay. I was 12 years old, and at that time, I was kind of listening to that stuff, and they came to play in Belgrade, and we went to see them. From memory, it was great, but there was not. I think at that time there was not that many great bands coming. I missed out.
What about on the local level? Must have been a local punk club, maybe a community center.
Not until later on in the 80s when I was like in my late teens. But I've seen some decent heavy metal bands from Yugoslavia back in like 82 and 83.
Yeah.
I started seeing in my hometown there would be maybe a two or three decent shows every year. Uh-huh. But when I was 16, 17, I started going to Belgrade like we would say go like on Tuesday night, just jump on the train, go to Belgrade, watch the band, then wait for the first morning train, like at 4 a.m., to go back home and arrive home at 6 a.m. and go straight to school, So that was rock and roll lifestyle for us. We were not drinking or smoking, but, we would just go and see the bands.
Wow. 2-hour train ride.
Yeah, yeah. And back then, I mean, I don't know even now, but back then there was like no age restriction. You could go to a, you know, a club or a bar to see a band, even if you were like 15 or 16, no problem, you know. So that was our entertainment. Like, I remember for a while, like almost every Tuesday night, there would be like touring bands coming, like, you know, some decent garage bands coming from Croatia, playing in Belgrade, and we would just, you know, jump. You know, this is before internet, so we would somehow find out, like, you know, oh, there's a band playing tonight, and we're like, okay, let's go, you know, just get on the train, go to Belgrade, and sometimes we would go there, the show would be cancelled, but, you know, we just had to stay and hang around all night, and sometimes even in winter time, you know, just freezing ourselves.
Fuck. Well, you love music. That shows.
So, I do. I still do.
Tell me about the first time you played in front of people, your first gig.
I was in Serbia with this Ramones cover band. I think first proper gig was we played at some party, and I mean, you know the feeling, you know. You do it once, you never want to stop doing that for the rest of your life. And, you know, later on we played a couple of shows in front of a bigger audience, and it's just the, you know, the adrenaline, and when the things go well, you know, it's just the most amazing feeling that, you know, you can't really describe to someone who didn't experience it before.
Well, what about bad shows?
Oh, I mean, bad shows, like, you know, I just when I think about it, most of the bad shows I played was, you know, with that first band, there was a problem, like, the singer was, like, really bad, like, he had really bad timing, like, yeah. He didn't know when to come in and start, when to stop, didn't follow the rhythm or anything, but, you know, throughout the life, most of the bad shows were, like, when the sound on stage is really crap and you can't hear anything, and I mean, as I'm sure you know,
sure.
You just say, well, that's it, you know, you just have to play and you do your best and try to be your best, and then usually most of the time when the sound, well, to me, when the sound on stage is crap, sound in front of the stage is good, so, you know, like, even though I'm thinking like, oh, that was horrible, you know, and then you finish and people come, oh, that sounded amazing, the mix was great, you know.
I think it's more important for the crowd, the gig goers, to get the good sound, because the guys on stage,
exactly.
The guys on stage, they get in for free.
That's true. Yeah, and
the
often
people
who
pay money, they should
well.
Be getting the good sound. That's what I think. I mean, if you think about it, right?
I agree.
If somebody had to have the shitty sound, it should be the guys on stage.
Yeah, but, you know, sometimes I wonder how difficult it is to get, you know, it's not like symphony orchestra, there's like a bass guitar and drums and vocals, you know, how difficult it is to get just a decent mix on stage, you know, but what can you do?
Sometimes,
I'm not a sound person, so I can't tell.
Yeah, well, sometimes the acoustics are just terrible, the place you're playing was never built for music. Or they don't have right equipment, or, you know. Or, even
that's
worse,
right.
It might be good acoustics, might be good equipment, but the people don't know how to operate, don't know how to work it.
Yes, yes.
And then,
that's
and
true.
Then also there's this human thing of egos and attitude, and a lot of things can fuck up a kick. That's what life has taught me, you know. But, you know, whenever you do one gig, I think you're getting ready for the next one. So it's never wasted.
Exactly, yeah. You know, you always learn from mistakes and,
yeah.
You know.
Or not even mistakes. Sex,
exactly.
Even trying to get it together, you know. Even if you do kind of have it together, you learn from that. I mean, it's strange, you know, because... in a way, you want to challenge people, but you want them to have a good time, too.
Yes, yes, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, if you give them just the feel-good, same-old, you're not really stretching anything, you know? So, in a way, you got to take a little bit of risk. for me, it was just scary to get in front of people. Luckily, I had D. Boone with me, because if you saw this guy going to town, there was no way you could be afraid. Look over at this guy.
Well, you know, like when I started playing, I mean, I'm always a little bit, I can't say nervous or, you know, but I'm always a little bit worried, will it sound good? Will I break a string? Will my amplifier blow up on stage or, you know, something like that? But usually, you know, the moment you start playing, all those things just go away. Like a few years ago, I was doing, like after I was in the first couple of bands here in Australia, I started doing some solo shows and just like instrumental, either solo on bass or solo on guitar and stuff. But and I was just, you know, so nervous just to be there by myself, you know, because there's nobody else to cover my mistakes. But then again, you know, as soon as I started playing, I would just be off, you know, just fuck it, you know, like, let's just do this, and I would just relax and enjoy it.
Yeah, good philosophy. Look, we're at the end of the first hour, February 28, 2019, Dishwap Peter Show, special guest Pex. Hold tight for hour two. February 28, 2019, it's the second hour, the Watt for Pedro Show.
Thank you.
Watford Pedro Show. We started the second hour off with Zero Dent doing CD Achiever. Then Sexa is one of some of those bands from the older days. Upicha Chito Kemo. Thank you, Cornell, for turning me on this. Tobakova Kushna Peshi with Lutka. Again, from the old days. Chumsky, Cornell's band, with Molly Sott. And the Mellow Men with Levitation. They were on the show last month. They're kind of garage. You know, of course, for Europe, I would say Spain has kept garage going the most, but it seems a lot of the Southern Europe part likes garage.
They do, yes.
Yeah. And I can hear some influence in your music, too. How did Zero Dent get together?
We all been in bands before, and we know each other, and at that time, this was like, I think it was like January 2015, I was in Japan. My wife is Japanese, so we were just visiting her family with kids. And I had a band at the time, but I wasn't too happy. It just, things were not happening fast enough for me. And it was more kind of like power pop or something. And I remember I was just by myself on the train in near Tokyo or something, and listening to music on my MP3 player, and it was on a shuffle, and then suddenly there was three or four punk songs came one after another. I think there was like The Clash, some French punk band, and I think some Yugoslavian punk stuff. And I was like, oh, you know, like it was like a really good mix of three or four songs together. And I was like, man, why, you know, like I always loved punk, and I haven't been in a punk band for a while. I thought like it would be good to, you know, just to play punk music together. Again, you know, like with some friends and stuff. And straight away when I got to my in-law's place, I emailed Lee, who is the singer of Zero Dent. Yeah. Even though he was never a singer, I mean, he was playing drums. He's a drummer, basically, but in his old band, he would sing a couple of songs and play drums as well. And he was a friend, and I knew we had, like, similar taste. I was like, man, like, you know, do you want to start a punk band? Let's, you know, just get some people together and, you know, give it a try. And he was like, yeah, you know, like, you get a band together and I'll see, if, you know, if it sounds good, I might join, you know. And basically, to cut a long story short, that's what happened. I just asked a couple of friends and had a jam. We did like three or four songs, had another jam, and, you know, I think we had like five songs. And I was like, oh, let's just record them at the practice. And just with a couple of, you know, portable recorders. And we did that, but took it home at kind of like, you know, not really mixed it, but just put it together on my computer. Yeah. And I was like, oh, let's just listen to them so we can learn them better and see what to do. And we were all happy, and I put it on the Bandcamp, and I think I just posted it on Facebook or whatever, and I emailed a few friends, well, a few people that I knew overseas and stuff, and one of them was Eric Oblivion, Eric Friedel from The Oblivions from Memphis. And,
great.
After like a couple of weeks, he was like, Pax, I really like this. Why don't you come and play Gorna Fest this year? And this was like in 2015. I was like, oh man, that's like, you know, it really blew my mind. But I was like, you know, we have five songs, you know, can we try that next year when we have a little bit more songs? And he was like, sure, man, yeah, go for it. And then, like a few months later, you know, we had 10 songs. We went and recorded them, and we wanted to release the album. And I thought, like, we'll just put it online, just make it free and stuff. And then I thought, well, I might as well try and see if someone else likes it, someone else wants to put it out. So I sent about 10, 20 emails to... I just went through my record collection, checked the stuff that I liked, see what label is on, and just emailed those people. And... some of them never replied. Some of them replied saying, sorry, you know, we are fully booked for like next couple of years or whatever. But then this guy from Alien Snatch Records in Berlin, he was like, oh, I love it. I want to put it out. And I thought, you know, like these days with small labels and small bands, often the labels ask the bands to pay for everything, like to pay for the pressing of the LP and stuff. And I was like, okay, so do we have to pay anything? He was like, no, no, I'll pay for everything and, you know, I'll send you 100 copies for free, whatever. And I was like, oh, great, you know. And but, you know, like I didn't believe it would happen until two big boxes of records came to my doorstep, you know.
Whoa. I want to play Joy, because that's what it sounds like you're having. Pedro Show, you just heard Overbite from Zero Den. Before that, So Don't Lose It from Ally. Aliyah, I don't know how you pronounce it. Fuck. Sorry, guys. Chronic Anxiety before that with Don't Touch Me from Romania. Details to Charles Dickens. And we start off with Joy from Zero Den. Pex had great joy when the record came out in Berlin. And you were saying off air there, the next record and also an EP is coming out because you guys got a tour coming. So besides Lee over in Europe, besides Lee, who else is in the band?
Well, at the moment, since we started, like few people in the band, they left for whatever reasons. But at the moment, it's Dylan Prosa on drums and Clinton Bell on bass. I was with Clinton in one of my first bands here in Perth, Soviet Valves, like years ago, probably almost 15 years ago.
Whoa.
And he's a good friend, and just at some stage I was like, oh, you know, he was playing guitar, I was like, you don't want to try playing bass, and he was like, sure, man, and yeah, now he's in the band.
Wow, that, I've been to that town 3 times, and it was, they had a festival, right, called, no, I've been there 4 times, because once was without the festival.
Yes, there were, well, you know,
the festival was
maybe
called the Big Day Off.
I'm sure
it was called the Big Day Out.
Sorry? Big Day
called,
Out, yes.
Yeah.
Well,
the
I'm sure you don't
was,
remember, but that's when we met face to face.
The nickname was the Big Day Off because there was like 5 gigs in 2 weeks.
Yes, and yes. It was a great festival. It's not happening anymore.
No, I remember.
I think it was 2006 when you came with the Stooges.
The first time I came was in 1996. I was helping out Porno for Pyros.
And that's that, right.
Yeah, that's the first time.
I saw you. Yes, you were playing bass.
Also, with every Big Day Out festival, I would also play a song with Tricky.
Dirty Three, yes.
Right. I also would play clubs with them on the days off.
I saw that.
And then I came to Australia with Jay Maskus in the Fog. But right. I don't know if we made it to Perth. But then the next time was 2006, like you said, with Stooges with Ronnie. And then when I came to Stooges with James Williamson, the festival was already done.
I think that was Blues and Roots Festival or something.
Something like that. And it was with Beasts of Bourbon, which was a great band. And very sad we've lost two of the guys from the band, Brian and Spencer.
Yeah. Well, the rest of the band is playing in Perth in a couple of weeks' time.
Tex. Great singer.
Yes, Tex, Kim Salmon. Boris and Tony Pola and
Tony, the drummer man was from Perth, right?
Yes, Tony Pola, yes.
Yeah, good guy, man. I got to be friends with those guys, and I love their band, their group. They did a great, that crazy version of Psycho, man. You know, we're at the end of the second hour, March 20th, 2019 edition of Watt Peter Show, special guest, Pex. Hold tight for hour 3. February 28, 2019, it's third hour of the Watt for Pedro Show.
Yeah. Thank you. Big M. Where you and I began. Where you and I began. Where you and I began to ride. To ride. Blood letters. Sinking sun. Where you and I began. Where you and I began. To put up. To put up. Put up the black outlines. Listen to. Be too fine. Where you and I begin. Where you and I begin to spin and spin, to spin and spin in the Big Dipper, Big Dipper. Where you and I begin, and I begin. And I began to spin and spin, to spin and spin, to weep again. Any coy island, childhood mirror to write, love letters, sinking sound to listen to the sound to the V2's point.
Pedro Show. Started the third hour off with you from Zero Dent. And then after that, National Debt was sung for Chuck Crane, Chuck Sands. Beautiful. The Odes with Where You End. It's live. The Odes is a project with Ted Milton. I had him on the show last month. From Blurt. Incredible cat. He sent me his book of poems. Yeah. Beautiful. Thank you, Ted. And then finally, Pieces from Zero Dent. So, you were talking about recording this new album?
Yes, sure.
It was Brian Hooper's nephew?
Yes, his nephew, Bill. Well, he recorded everything we recorded so far, which is two albums and two EPs. And he's a young man. He works in a record store. He lives down the road from me as well, so we often hang around. His name is Will, so we call him Will Spector. He's a genius on an 8-track tape recorder, and that's how he records everything, you know, just on a tape machine and mixes everything on that.
Still uses tape.
Yes, he's really great, great with that. He's very technical about those things, and it's just at his parents' place. There's like a tiny little house, like in a in the backyard, and just one room. So basically, everything has to be recorded live, apart from vocals. We usually add them later, and it's really relaxed. It doesn't take long. It takes usually takes longer to set up than to record.
That's good. Does the studio have a name?
It's called Stable Sound. Because stable is, the place where you keep the horses and stuff. It
right.
used to be stables before.
Yeah, like a barn.
Yes, exactly.
For horses. Yeah, you know, once me and Brother Steve with this a Dublin band called Estelle recorded in a stable. The guy put a recording studio. You repurpose. Makes sense.
Well, more people should do that.
Yeah, that's right. It's like recycling of the resources. I got something live from you guys. True Perfection. WFMU. So you guys did come on that tour for the Goddard Fest?
Yes, we did. Man, it was just, if somebody told me a year before the tour that I will be touring in the States in 1 year, I would just say no way, because I never even planned to visit the States, just because, I mean, I wanted to, but there's never enough money, you know?
Yeah, sure.
And then we got the offer from Eric to come and play Gonerfest, and I was like, okay, let's see, and next year we release the album. I thought, well, this is good chance to go, and at least we'll have some songs to play. And then I just looked at the map, and I realized how big your country is. And I was like, okay, let's see what we can tour and like not have to drive like for thousands of miles.
Well, Memphis is in the middle.
So, yeah, I know. So I thought, let's start from the middle top. So let's start from Chicago and go down to Detroit and stuff. Anyway, during that time, before when I was doing some solo stuff, I sent my records to WFMU, and they just played it more than they were played here in Perth, you know?
Sure.
And I was like, oh my God, it's amazing, like this very big, influential alternative radio station is playing my music, you know? So I thought, okay, when Zero Dent released the album, I'll just, I think I was in touch with Brian Turner.
Brian Turner.
He was still running the show.
Yeah, that's a great station, Jersey City.
He was like, oh, please send me a copy of the record. So I sent a copy of the record, and I think I put like five CDRs versions, just for the other presenters. And then our drummer at the time, he was like, Pex, they played us on WFMU. I was like, oh, okay, I'll give it a listen. And I listened, it was Evan Davis' show.
Yep.
And he was saying, oh, he's this great new band from Perth, I really like it, blah, blah, blah. Oh, what a shame, they're all the way from Perth, Australia, they probably never come to America. And I just found his email. I said, hey, actually, we are coming to America. And he was like, oh, please come and play live at the show. But because we were like just planning to go from Chicago to Memphis, I was like, oh, you know, now we have to like go all the way to New York, New Jersey, you know?
Well, Jersey City.
But, you know,
it's close to
it was it was an opportunity, you know, not to be missed. So we just flew. I think we played like four or five shows. Last one was in Columbus, and then from Columbus we just flew to New York. Straight away went to New Jersey, played. Oh man, it was nerve-wracking. You know, you're playing on the radio. I mean, it wasn't like a live broadcast, but you know that's going to be permanent. And just went there. You know, we didn't know anybody. We met them for the first time, but they were really nicest people ever. And sounded great in the room where we were recording, and just had a few beers, played for half an hour, and that was it.
Yeah, I've done three or four of them there. You know, they've downstairs they've made it for gigs. It's going to be like a regular club.
Yeah, I was like, oh, you know, if I didn't even know that, but if I knew, I would try to, you know, book a gig there or something.
Yeah,
but, you know,
it's a really happening.
Next time.
Really, really happening place. Look, let's play True Perfection from that appearance you made at WWE.
Cool.
Put
him
on the radio.
In this endless cycle of batshit crazy. In this cycle of batshit crazy, batshit crazy, batshit crazy, batshit crazy, batshit crazy, batshit crazy. News. It's all one big cycle now.
Pedro Show last music for this edition. Started off with the True Perfection live. Zero Dent, WFMU. Then Tollum with Batshit Crazy Times. Ain't they ever. AB Normal after that. That's Brother Phil up in Snowy Big Bear. Third Stone, Demolition and Reconstruction. An interpretation. Brother Phil. And finally, still hanging on, was never meant to be. Live, Zero Dip. Same broadcast. Where can people find you on the internet?
Well, if you just put Zero Dip in Bandcamp, you'll get everything that we released so far. And
so
also,
if you put
Zero Dent and WFMU, you get the link for the recording from WFMU.
You got that. If you're on your browser, people, go to Zero Dent, ZERODENT, and Bandcamp. Put those two things in the search window, and you'll get links that can tell you what's happening with these guys. I know they're going to Europe soon, a couple months, right?
That's true.
What countries?
At this stage, I think we are flying to Amsterdam from Perth and then driving to Germany, playing a few shows there. Germany, Czech Republic, Belgium, Netherlands, and at this stage we're probably going to Serbia. I'm just waiting to get some shows confirmed. There's only a couple of weeks. We all four of us work full time. Three of us have family as well and kids, and so it's always difficult to take time off for like long periods of time. And this is the first time for Europe, so the label is in Berlin, Germany. So we just want to go there, and basically we just want to go and help the guy sell a few records, you know, because that's what you have to do if you're a band from Perth, Australia. It's hard to play anywhere outside of Perth. So, you know, if someone released it in Germany, I think it's a nice gesture to go there.
I read somewhere that Perth is the most isolated big town in the world.
Well, yes, physically, you know, geographically, yes. You know, so for us, the nearest city is like 3 hours drive, but even though that is like, 20,000 population or something, so it's not like you can go and tour. And if you want to go tour to Melbourne or Sydney or those cities, it just costs like thousands of dollars in the airfares, and you never get that much money from the gigs, so it's just impossible. And the only thing you can do is play around here, but even playing here is difficult. I can say we are not one of those popular local bands, so we don't try to play every gig possible. When I was younger, I was playing, Tuesday night gig, no worries, I'll just play, there's no money, whatever, just go out, have a couple of beers and play. But nowadays we are a bit more selective with what kind of shows we play, so it's great to have the opportunity to actually go to Europe. And because I was booking most of the shows myself or like through friends over there, and we have something like 12 shows in 12 days, so I hope you can last that long.
I hope you can do too, and I admire you for pushing on in a place that don't really encourage. That's the situation, but it's very admirable. Your love of music overcomes that, and I want you to keep on keeping on, please, Pex. It's been a big honor to have you on the show.
My experience from the States, we only played like 7 shows in America, but people really appreciate it. And for some reason, people really like Australian music, and, they think we are these exotic people from exotic country, But just, being... playing to new people and just meeting people, seeing other bands, seeing other bands we played with, they blew my mind, and so I'm looking forward to, do the same in Europe.
Okay. Good luck. Keep the keel in the water. Big love. People, it's been February 28, 2019, edition of Watt Peter Show special guest, Pex. Keep your powder dry.